Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Right here on your official Chiefs radio partner. Again, exclusive interviews only on 610 Sports Radio. We'll have live press conferences, all your Chiefs coverage here on 610 and our sister station. You want to hear the Chiefs this year? That is on 106.5. Wolf, really excited to be the official Chiefs radio partner. Tomorrow, The Drive going to have Kalichi Osimile on their show.
Plus Patrick Mahomes every week. No big deal there. I mean, this is an every week exclusive interviews. One-on-one with players are going to be appearing on all three shows. And start tomorrow, you mentioned, for training camp. That'll be every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A player to talk to. Monday, Tuesday. You know, like every day that there's training camp, there'll be a player on this station hearing from your Kansas City, your Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, I might add.
Yeah, as they try to go for their old defense.
This isn't just any old, you know, just some normal Chiefs training camp. No, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. That's who you're going to hear from right here on 610 Sports Radio. And our partners over at 106.5, The Wolf.
Absolutely. And it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We do this each and every day on Cody and Gold. And we've been doing this a couple times heading into the start of the season. Jump? Maybe going to fall behind? Or are they going to stay the same? Looking at two players and whether or not we see a big jump or a fall back from each of the two players today that we throw out there for you. And let us know on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610, whether or not you think they're taking a jump, staying the same, or falling behind. It's Frank Clark and Rashad Fenton. Let's start with Frank Clark on this. I think you know where I'm headed based off of previous discussions and where I view Frank Clark and where he can be, where I think he will be come the end of this season in terms of how he should be valued and positioned and ranked in the National Football League. I think we see the jump from Frank Clark. I believe we see a jump from that because I look at what he was able to do, like this defense as a whole, what he was able to do on the back end of the season. Now, his numbers overall, we all know this. He started 11 games, played in 14 games a year ago, had the injury issues, had the weird stomach virus or illness, whatever you want to call it. And then the bigger deal was the neck, right? Some sort of a neck issue that prevented him from being the Frank Clark that we all thought the Chiefs traded for, and people were frustrated, certainly with the early part of his season. Still ended up with 8 sacks, was fantastic in the playoffs as well. I think we see a jump, and a lot of it is because if he has that production across a full season, and he stays healthy. I think the neck thing was a weird deal. The stomach virus doesn't really bug me because it sounds like that's something he's played with even when he was in Seattle. So Frank Clark, I expect to see a jump and to where you won't think I'm as crazy when it comes to thinking he's a top 10 pass rusher in football.
Let us know on the text line, Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 913-576-7610. I think he's the same. Look, I want to be the ever optimist on every single position, but that's just not reality. Like, the last time we did this, I thought a couple guys might take a jump or one might stay the same and take the jump, but he's the same. I know you're saying, like, that Frank Clark we thought they traded for, which was a full 16-game, 13-sack Frank Clark. Okay, well, he's only started 16 games once, and he's been in the league for now 5 years. Now, his first year, he was a rotational defensive lineman on an excellent defensive line for the Seahawks. So I'll let that one go. The following year, as a 23-year-old second-year player, he started to start more. He played in 15 games, but only started 5, but got 10 sacks and only 5 starts. The following year, his starts go down to 12, but plays in all 16, but only 9 sacks. He starts in all 16, he gets 13. He's a 10-sack player. He's more Tom Mahali than he is a Bosa, right? Nick Bosa. And there's nothing wrong with having a Tom Mahali on your team. Tom Mahali was one of the most consistent sack producers in the NFL over a 10 or 15 year period. It's how he ends up on all decade teams. He just gets his. But that's why he stays the same, which I don't think in Frank Clark's case. In some cases, I would tell you that's a bad for a player. But in Frank Clark's case, I don't. It means you know what kind of production you're getting out of him. Now, you could tell me, because he missed those games, this was going to be the year he saw the jump, 15, 16 sacks, because he's on a really good defensive line with Chris Jones and Okafor and others. This was going to be the season he took the leap. But for me, he's going to be a 10, 12, 13 sack guy.
Yeah, but that's right, that's, about that is where a jump, was, though, from a
to
year
me,
ago.
To me, it's not, because the injury, because like to me, it's not taking a jump to just stay healthy. Like, he should be healthy. That's what I should anticipate. And if he was an oft-injured player, which he misses some games.
Yeah, you've tried to categorize him as like an injury-prone player, which I fully disagree. Look, We've had this discussion before. He's not injury-prone.
No, exactly. Like, he just misses a few snaps. He misses a few games. He's only been a full 16-game starter once. But he's usually there. He's usually available. So for me, it's not taking a jump to say you're healthy, unless he's going to take a jump statistically from when he's healthy. 13, 14, 15 sacks. Again, back up there. If he's right around that 10 to 12 mark again, to me, he's the same player, which is not a bad thing because Frank Clark can be very disruptive at that level.
All right, then what about Rashad Fenton in the secondary? And you know, I don't think you can possibly say he's going to fall behind. I don't, based off of where he is at right now. I mean, he's 23 years old. He's played one. He's had the one season in the National Football League for Kansas City. And I look at it and I think this year, and this is going to be really dependent on Bashaud Breeland. And is he out just one game? Is he going to be out four games? And as of right now, he is out four games. He's appealing. So he's out four games as of right now. He's appealing his suspension. We'll see what the NFL decides. Bashaud Breeland is. Rashad Fenton, yes, they've gone out and added L'Jarius Sneed, a rookie. They brought in Antonio Hamilton, who I actually think might be the biggest benefactor from Bashaud Breeland's absence, or whether it's 1 week or 4 weeks. But I think for Fenton, mainly because of where he's at and how young he is, I think his playing time goes up a little bit this year, perhaps even in that mix, even with Antonio Hamilton. So I do think there's going to be a jump. This is a scenario where I think both players can take a jump. Rashad Fenton certainly has more room to jump just based off of where his baseline is. I don't think he can go down. One of those where it can only go up, but I think it goes up because he sees more playing time this year. So I think he's someone that might surprise some people this year and has more playing time. Him and Antonio Hamilton, I think, are the two biggest benefactors of a Bashaud Breeland suspension this year.
I hate to be the negative guy, but I think he falls back. You're saying, how can he fall back? He was barely on the field.
Yeah, so like, where's he falling back? He didn't start a single game. I don't expect him to start this year either, but like, where do you think he's falling
back?
By
staying the same, he becomes even less in the mix for the position. And the reason why I fear that for him, even though they had some positivities, they've said positive things about him, right?
Yep.
We think he can be a guy. We understand how he fits. And now there's positions outside of that. And you start having those conversations about like, well, they may, but their actions have done very different things. Now, most recently,
it was a rookie season.
Their actions have been a lot different than their mouth to the Chris Jones contract.
Yeah.
And eventually they brought it in, but they've thrown a lot of numbers in front of Fenton. They keep bringing in low-priced one-year veterans to compete at the position with him. They drafted guys like L'Jarius Sneed to compete at the position with him. And I know you're saying like, oh, but they needed extra corners anyway, but those seem like direct competition for Fenton. I know, like, the argument would be they didn't spend any free agency money at that position, but I still think they're going to put some free agency dollars in the cornerback position as well. So for me, I just think that they just, like, honestly, I think they're throwing a lot of competition his way because they don't fully buy in. Now, we don't have any evidence because I can't even see the reps he's taking at practice.
Yeah.
Because there's like four people who can watch that right now, which we'll talk to now that practice is starting to happen. And we know that our guy, like Herbie Teope, could be down there watching practice. But I've never gotten a real sense they fully believe in him because they don't talk about him like some of the young players they talk about that way.
No, and when I say he's not going to become what Charvarius Ward was last year. That's not what I'm saying. But I think he sees more playing time. He's a bigger benefactor, and you can say, well, they keep adding guys in front of him. But they are what you just said. They are low price, some veterans, some not. They spent a fourth-round draft pick. Like, with all due respect to L'Jarius Sneed, he wasn't a second-round pick, okay? He was a fourth-round draft pick for Kansas City. It's not as if they're investing high draft capital. They didn't go and spend their 32nd overall pick
one,
on a
what does that tell you about Fenton?
I don't think he will, but okay.
Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, like,
I think Rashad Fenton, I think he was really solid as a rookie. He might not be getting talked about, and maybe that's just because he's not a boundary guy. Like, he's more of like a nickel cornerback, but I think that he's got tons of room to improve, even if they aren't talking a ton about him. Like, Frank Clark, even with the neck injury last year, he still had 8 sacks, which is pretty much on par for what he does in his career.
That's like, why I think he's the same. He's fine.
Like
he's steady, just solid. No questions.
Yeah, like even 100% healthy, like he's never looked like he's an 18 sack guy. Like he's just a solid 9 to 12 sack guy a year. And I think Fenton, like, while I don't think he's going to be like an elite playmaking corner, if he can be a starting nickel corner for the Chiefs, that's huge.
He didn't play till week 6.
That would be a huge improvement from where it was. That would be a jump, like Gold talked about him. If he becomes an everyday player, like you said, he didn't play a game till week 6. If he becomes an everyday player as a slot nickel guy for even 4 wide, it's a bit of a jump because they're just using him more. I just don't see it. I don't know. Like, and maybe it's just because I haven't gotten enough tape on him yet to get the feeling, or maybe because they're just not talking about him the same way. It's been really quiet about them. And to me, this organization has just been really bullish about the players they love, and they mention it a lot early on. Like, they've talked about Antonio Hamilton twice as much as they've talked about Rashad Fenton, seemingly. And I know that that's, you know, perception also, in my own brain.
Yeah, people are also asking Antonio, even though Fenton was only a rookie last year, and so he's still very, very new to the organization.
Hamilton was a
veteran offseason acquisition, and I think people are going to ask you about the new guy you brought in. At this point, we've seen from Fenton, there's not a ton of questions that can be like, you're right, we don't have preseason games right now. We don't have training camp's going to be closed. Nobody's trying to say Fenton's going to be this absolute stud, but whether it's on the outside or whether it's a certain point, maybe it's, you know, your nickel corner, whatever, maybe I think he's going to get more opportunities this year and they'll learn a lot more about what he can bring. I think the two, again, biggest benefactors, if you have a longer term suspension for Breland, is Fenton and Antonio Hamilton. I think those are the two guys. L'Jarius Sneed, it's a big ask for him because he's just a rookie and he was a 4th round pick. I think it's a big ask for him to step in come week 1. As we continue in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, the big news in the NFL today is the news of a tight end resetting that market in a big, big way. George Kittle able to do that, a new 5-year contract with the San Francisco 49ers, reportedly going to come out to $15 million on average per year. Clearly the NFL's highest paid tight end. Hunter Henry was that at $10.6 million. Also, Austin Hooper had a big contract that he signed this offseason. But, man, this changes the market for tight ends. And naturally, you think, okay, what's the impact on Travis Kelce then? Kelce's older, though. Kelce has 2 years on his contract. He's a cap hit about $11 million this year, then $9 million next
year.
Which
is nothing. He signed for 5 for 47. Kittle just signed for 5 for 75 if you're looking at the difference in the market 3 years later.
Yeah.
Just 3 years later. If you're looking for one, obviously this impacts Travis Kelce, and he should absolutely be asking for more money. The question is, will he be asking for more money in these 2 years or just on the back end of this thing? Because I could see a 4-year total deal, 2-year extension that pushes his final 2 years over that number, maybe, let's say, George Kittle got. But the Chiefs will get to say, hey, you're 4 years older than Kittle. This is why the number is what it is. And I think there's a pretty strong argument to be made that George Kittle's tight end contract is exactly like Patrick Mahomes' quarterback contract. He is the exception, not the rule. And a good evidence of that is, look at this tweet from Dan Graziano. The increase we just saw in the tight end market, 41% from what the previous high was. That would be like the next wide receiver who signed a free agency contract getting $31 million a year, or a running back getting $22.5 million a year, or a quarterback getting $63 million a year. And while this market has dragged ass for years,
I was gonna say, it's time to make up for it.
The reason why it has dragged is because there haven't been that many offensive weapons around it. So for me, yeah, I know it's going to increase Travis Kelce's number, but if I were another team with a young tight end I liked, if I had Darren Waller, I'm not sweating paying $15 million a year right now. I assume I got to pay 12 now instead of 10, but I don't think this is going to throw the entire market out of whack if I've got a regular, everyday, normal guy tight end, or even a top end, like top 10 guy, but not the top 2 like Kittle, Kelce.
It's the elite of the elite. And,
correct.
And I do agree with that, which is, by the way, also, I don't think Kelce across his, I mean, certainly Kelce's not going to average $15 million if the Chiefs rework a contract or come up with an extension and along those lines. I could see, though, based off of where Kelce's numbers are at right now, what I say is like $11 million this year, $9 million cap hit for 2021. We know
$20 million over the next 2 years.
Yeah, when we know 2021 is going to be tricky for all the teams of the NFL, figuring out where the cap's going to be at. The Chiefs right now, they'll have $15 million reportedly from over the cap. I have said roll it over or use it on a Kelsey deal.
But now that's the numbers, same thing. Rolling it over and paying Kelsey is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's a way you can do it. And if that's feasible for you, you know the number that you kind of have to get near or at least average out to at some point for at least a couple of the years. I think if you're already at $11 million cap it for Kelsey this year, why not go ahead and actually go this year, go ahead and rework the contract.
Get him to 12 or 13.
Go ahead and bump it up this year. You've got the money to do it this year. Next year is the tricky part. How do you configure 2021? And then, as you go further, you're willing to do it. I you know, given his age,
extra this year, $2 million extra the next year, and then 15 per the final two? I mean, I would go up
30,
40, 50. I mean, you fine with essentially signing the same. It's 4 years, $54 million. I think at that point, most people in Kansas City would say, yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, give me that deal.
That's the question. Am I willing to go 4 more years out is I think my question. I'm fine with
why not,
I'm willing to go, if you want to say, bump it up another $3 million or $4 million this year. I'm even willing to do that. He's 34 years from now. He'll be 34. I'm not saying he's going to. We've looked at this a lot. We've talked about Tony Gonzalez and his numbers.
Stretch that time out.
Well,
the reason
it out
why
financially,
you're worried is because you're like,
but,
hey, he's old.
Correct.
And we have essentially zero evidence of what an elite tight end does in their aging season other than one guy, Travis Kelce. Now, we've seen other guys who are good pass catchers like Jimmy G.
Yeah, Gonzalez. Because
Gonzalez was great.
Gonzalez at age 34, which would be what we're talking about in this scenario of a 4-year contract, age 34. So after that, Gonzalez was in Atlanta, and his age 34 season gave you 70 receptions, 656 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Now, that was obviously a different offense, but still, this offense
also,
is
Travis Kelce is a better tight end than Tony Gonzalez.
He is, even though that kills me from my childhood rooting for Gonzalez, but yes, you're correct. That hurts.
But it's
that
true.
One stings. It is true. 2011 was 35-year-old season for Gonzalez. He actually got better.
At 875 yards?
875. They got better at age 36. Now, that's not normal, okay? He went up to 93 grabs and 930 yards and 8 touchdowns. He had a ridiculous final 2 years in the National Football League, did Gonzalez. I think that, like, when we say, like, he's better than Gonzalez, yes, right now, but I think the back end, to have at age 36 and 37, those type of seasons is saying something about Gonzalez. It's a Hall of Fame tight end for a reason, obviously.
If you do a 4-year deal for Travis Kelce right now, it's in the two that remain and 2-year extension, he will average 1,100 yards a season over those 4 years, which is worth every single cent of a $54 million contract because he's still way less than elite wide receiver money. 1,000-yard wide receiver money. How about that? Not even elite wide receiver money, just 1,000-yard Allen Robinson money, right? I mean, that's the kind of, because he's like an 1,100 yard. He like, to me, is like the stereotypical 1,100 yard a season receiver. Part of that might be Mitch Trubisky's fault. So
the way that's
I'll admit
set up.
That, like their current offensive system. But that's why, like, I don't know if Kelce wants to stay that low. But to this point, he has uttered not so much a peep about where his contract is versus Kettle.
Yeah,
and
no,
to this
nobody,
point,
nobody
he
has,
was still
really,
paid
man.
Like one of the top tight ends. Being paid $10 million a year over the next 2 years essentially paid you like a top 5 tight end in the NFL. Now Kittle is screwing that up a little. And again, we don't have a lot of evidence of aging tight ends who were pass catchers. Jimmy G, or not Jimmy G, Jimmy Graham got like just, he fell, the wheels came off. In a really big way. And he was he's a really good pass catcher for a few years. But again, he's still not Kelce. Hall of Fame careers, 4 years, I got no problem.
And it's one thing, too. It is a 4-year deal. How much is it guaranteed? You know, reportedly, the Kittle deal in this 5-year is $40 million injury guarantees. How much would you be willing to guarantee in a Kelce deal? What's
and
the give and take there?
And guaranteeing the injury stuff a year ahead of time.
For the Kittle
deal.
For
Kittle. Yeah. So that, and that's a big deal. A lot of teams don't do that kind of deal. That is an important note of his contract.
So now the number is at least set. Now we can actually maybe have some movement on if the Chiefs, do they have to do it? Of course not. No, they have them under contract for 2 more years. It's just given where they're at with flexibility now in the 2020 cap and knowing what they would definitely have to do next offseason, do you go ahead and just get it taken care of? Like, they've been able to work out deals with them. Like, I'm not concerned about it. If they can, Chris Jones, Mahomes, they were able to figure that all out. Nobody should be freaking out about taking care of Kelce.
No.
They'll be able to maneuver it. But now you know what the number is, and it's on average $15 million a year for a tight end. And it's going to be a while. When you have that kind of increase, as you pointed out from Graziano's tweet, 41% increase. Yeah, you're not getting an increase at that tight end number for quite some time again. Like, it's,
this is Mahomes. This will take a few years for people to catch up to that number. But Kittle still helped a lot of tight ends. Like, anybody, if you're, not Austin Hooper, but if you're Darren Waller, you're the next guy to get paid. I'm feeling pretty good about that number Kittle just put out there.
Last minute.
Jets quarterback Sam Darnold says that he's spent the offseason making sure that he's doing everything he can to make his lower body as strong as possible. as well as keeping his core right to make sure that he's in incredible shape for the upcoming season. So he is just trying to make sure he doesn't get mono again.
That's right. That's right.
Is that about core strength mono? I thought that was the kissing disease.
And yes. Yes.
I don't know. Apparently you can like lose a spleen or something if you're not careful with mono.
Ooh.
Really?
Ooh.
Did not know that.
Come on, that's your guy, man. Defend your guy.
Oh, he's not my guy. I just am not done with him the way you guys are done with him. I think that's the difference. Like I don't see it. I think that the way I would describe it is that I've tried to is just don't believe he has been given the fair opportunity for you to be definitively able to answer the question whether or not he's got it to be a quarterback, start a franchise quarterback in the NFL. We haven't got that answered yet because
it's a horribly wrong organization.
It's a bad organization.
But the Texans and Deshaun Watson still looks good.
But
nobody's. When he
plays. I'm not trying to tell you that he's going to be. I'm not trying to tell you he's in the top five NFL quarterback category, which is where I put Deshaun Watson. He's not going to be Deshaun Watson. Can he be a franchise quarterback and potentially a top 12 to 15 quarterback? I still think that question hasn't been answered definitively one way or the other. This is a huge year for him, no doubt. Unfortunately, he does have Adam Gase. His O-line is stunk. They did go out and spend a ton of money on the O-line. Should be much improved. Let's hope he doesn't have mono that allows him only to play in 13 games. He still doesn't have any wide receivers. And then now his defense is getting ripped apart with Mosley and Jamal Adams not playing and getting traded. So, yeah, I still think, unfortunately, this year is not the best scenario for him either. But at some point, yeah, he's got to snap out of that whole mold. And just like I've said with Deshaun Watson, you can't continually always use your head coach as an excuse and personnel as an excuse. At some point, talent has to take a team above what the limitations appear to be. And, yeah, Sam Darnold's going to have to do that. But I don't think you can definitively tell me, oh, Sam Darnold sucks. I think that's just inaccurate at this point. It's too early. Yeah, it's too early.
Is it too early?
I mean,
sucks might not be the word I use, but is incredibly blah.
They haven't given him. I agree. They haven't given him a chance to exactly flourish.
No,
but he hasn't looked good. Adam Gase is a terrible coach, mind you, but he just has not looked very good.
There's been a few games. There's been some stretches.
He had like a 4-game stretch at the end of his rookie season where he looked good.
I mean, Nick Foles has had 4-game stretches. Okay, it's like so's Gardner Minshew. Doesn't mean all those other times I watch him. I got a lot of Sam Darnold tape on the books now, and I'm like, I'm all right. If I were the Jets, I'd be like, I'm good. Look, someone's going to clean house eventually. They can't let Gase keep that job forever, can they? Jets are so poorly run, they just might. They just might.
They drafted so poorly leading up to this, prior to this year, where they've had
manager. We complain about Aaron Rodgers' help on offense. The most help they've given Darnold on offense is, Le'Veon Bell after not playing
Bell
for a year?
A very disappointing. They didn't use him right last year.
No, but I mean,
by the way, thinking of Sam Darnold, as you said, he's not having in and out every single day anymore.
Apparently
in and out. I'm making sure I'm not eating whatever I want to eat. I'm not having in and out every single day and making sure I'm eating good food.
It's probably a little bit much for an NFL quarterback.
In and out is overrated, by the way, as well. I think it's good, but it's overrated. Whataburger, much better. Much better than in and out.
I never had it.
I think
Whataburger is better than In-N-Out.
I've had Whataburger. Okay. I've never had In-N-Out.
It's not bad. It's just it's not as good as Whataburger. That's all. It's overrated. It's hyped up.
Next time you're on the coast, get you some In-N-Out.
Or in Dallas.
Or Dallas, whatever. Fine. That thought of it as like a coastal Whataburger.
It's a West Coast thing.
It's a West Coast thing.
It is, but they got a bunch in Dallas as well. You go down there. That's a quicker route to go.
They always had it in Surprise every time I'd be down there for
spring training. How many times did you have it on training camp or spring training?
They had In-N-Out and Whataburger.
Yeah, how often were you eating that?
I don't know. I mean, I cooked a lot still. I had time.
That's right.
I had time.
You were cooking.
I cooked for myself occasionally, like
an
adult.
You had Whataburger in your backyard, and you had... I mean, in fairness to that point, I had Whataburger in my backyard for over a year in Houston, and I didn't have as much as you would have thought.
See? Exactly.
It's one of those, once you know you have it, you don't go for it as much, I guess.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.